This is the Green Student Ministries High School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
If you have a Bible, I hope you have a Bible this morning. Go ahead and open it up to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we're gonna dive in today. And what we're gonna do today is we're gonna wrap up a section of doctrine that we've been working on for the last month. We are gonna wrap up today the doctrine of man, where we play a part in this series that we're looking at called Doctrine, better understanding why we believe what we believe and finding it in God's Word. And so we're wrapping that up today. 3 weeks ago, we started this doctrine of man with the fact that we are created in the image of God, that we are image bearers of our Creator. And the following week, we went into the fall of man and the reality that we have this sin problem that exists in each and every one of our lives. No one is exempt from it. We all have this sin problem in our lives. And that is a big problem because it would lead us to death, and not just death in this life, but eternal death. And so we looked last week, Marshall was here, and he talked about the doctrine of salvation, and that was the answer to that problem that we have. And so he talked about that last week, and we're going to wrap it up this week as we look at the doctrine of eternal security, or a fancy way to say it, the preservation of the saints. I like that. Like, that's a fancy, like, the preservation of the saints. Like, just saying that, I feel like, you know, I feel more important. I'm not, but it makes me, you know, the preservation of the saints, it sounds like it has something like some good stuff to it. And another way to put it is eternal security. And so the way that we would identify this is, hey, once I give my life to Jesus, as I begin to follow him, can I fall away? Like, can I lose my salvation? And I, you know, maybe you're in here and you're like, real, I've never thought of that before. Like, I thought that you know, I was good. Is that possible? Like, is that something that can happen to me? And as you get older, this is a question that I think you'll find that you will interact with from time to time. And the hard part about this piece of doctrine is there are some belief systems under the umbrella of Christian. There are some belief systems that would say, yes, you can lose your salvation. And then there's an Arminian belief. They would say, yes, you can lose your salvation, and you can get it again. You can lose it and get it and lose it and get it and lose it and get it. They would not believe that you have eternal security. There's a Calvinistic belief. That's where I land, and I think some of us would land. And it's, you know, for you to continue to dive into God's Word and figure out, where we would say, no, you are eternally secure. There is preservation of the saints. The saints, those who are believers, will be preserved by God, and we can engage in salvation and know that it can never be lost. And so there's these two thoughts. And so we have to get into God's Word to see what it says about it. You know, like, that's anytime you ever find yourself like in a position where you see somebody or you have a conversation with someone and they point to Scripture and they give you a belief or a viewpoint that is potentially contradictory or different than your viewpoint or your belief, your response should be, let's get into Scripture and let's figure this out together. Like, show me where you saw that, and then let's get into it. Because I want to see that, and I want to have a better understanding of this thing that we're talking about. And it doesn't just, you know, end at figuring out around salvation. Are we eternally secure? Are we not? But, like, this is, like, every aspect of your life. Like, the reality is you're probably not going to engage in very many conversations with non-believers, like people who don't know Jesus, around this topic or a lot of these topics that we've talked about. Some of them at the beginning, but maybe as we continue to get further and further into it, you will probably not engage with many non-believers in these things. But what you may find is, you know, If you're sitting at your FCA or FCS at school and you're beginning to talk, or maybe you're engaged in a Bible study, or even, you know, another friend or a teammate at school, or on your sports team that is a follower, you may find that you have some different beliefs. And in those moments, what you should do is go, man, this is good stuff. Let's get into Scripture. Let's see what God's Word has to say about it. Because we get into trouble sometimes and we find ourselves saying, well, here's what I think. And I love you all, but what you think doesn't matter. What I think doesn't matter. But what God thinks, that's what really matters. And so we need to engage in good conversation, get back to the ultimate source of truth, so that we can better understand what God is calling us to do right now. And so as we jump into this, my hope for this, that this morning, it's a moment for each and every one of you, no matter where you are in your journey, in a relationship with Jesus, whether you're looking at it and going, maybe I want to, maybe you're going, man, I don't even know who Jesus is, really, like I've heard his name. Then there's other of you who would say, yeah, I've been following Jesus for a long time. Wherever you're at, my hope is that you take today and use this message as an opportunity to reflect on where you are in your relationship with Jesus, because that is the most important part, not just of your life, but of all of your existence. Is where are you at in your relationship with Jesus? And so as we jump in, I believe that this verse really captures the truth of what is offered to us in salvation, and the fact that once we have engaged in a relationship with Jesus, an authentic and real relationship with Jesus, whether or not we have eternal security, whether or not the preservation of the saints is authentic. And so look in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. If your friend doesn't have a Bible beside you, or you don't have one, it's going to be on the screen behind me, so follow along. And this is Jesus speaking in John 10, 27 through 29. This is what he says. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Let's pray. Father God, God, I thank you for your word, how it's living and active, and how it pierces our soul. It cuts through all of the physical and gets into the spiritual. And Father, I pray that this morning, Father, I pray that it would be a continuation of your word doing that once again. Father, that we would see it, and Father, that we would not fear, that we would not worry, but it would drive us to your Son even more. Father, that we would realize, no matter where we're at, that our need for Jesus is greater than we ever imagined. And I pray, Father, that we would respond to that by going to him and seeing the love that he has for us. Father, as we engage with your word, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, open our spirit to what your spirit has to speak to us this morning. Father, let us live this out. Father, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your love, and thank you for Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. And so we're gonna dive right in to kind of bring back some of the things that Marshall talked about last week, but also to pull it all together. And if you weren't here last week, don't worry, we will get into covering all of these things. And so I want to just jump right into Scripture. Here's four verses talking about salvation and the reality that when we are engaged in a relationship with Jesus, we are secure. The first one is in John chapter 3, and this is what it says. It says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." And we see in this, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. We see that as a promise. We see the opposite of that, though, that whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. And so we see there some of the things that are required. Like a belief leads to action. We see that in the Scripture. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. And so what we see here is this idea that we have of belief. This idea that we have of belief. It's not simply a belief of like, I believe that God exists. I believe there is a divine creator. You may even say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You may believe in those things. But if you have not trusted in him as the leader of your life and the forgiver of your sins, if you are not obeying the Son, you are not engaging in an authentic relationship with Jesus. And it says that the wrath of God remains on him. And so what we see is belief leads to some action, some obedience from that. We'll go on in Romans 8:1. This is what Paul is saying to remind us. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He tells us this. Hey, if you are in Jesus, there is no condemnation. You are secure. Ephesians, Paul talks about this. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And so what Paul is saying here in his letter to the Ephesians is that the Holy Spirit, when we engage in that salvation, when we engage in that relationship with Jesus, when we receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus has offered, the answer to our sin problem, we are still sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that promise will come to fulfillment for eternal life. We're secured in this. Even Peter, who walked with Jesus, he says this in his first letter. He says, who by God's power, and being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter is saying here that we are guarded through our faith for salvation. If our faith is active, we know that our salvation is real, and that's what's guarding us in our relationship with Jesus. And so one of the things that we find in this is, you know, you may find yourself in a position where you go, I'm looking into what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you say, hey, I've accepted the free gift of salvation. And so, well, you know, I feel secure in that. But one of the things we have to realize is it's not just an impulse decision that we make. You know, a pastor delivers a message and you're like, wow, that was really good stuff. I should probably follow Jesus. You pray a prayer, you know, that maybe a pastor or somebody leads you in. And what you have to realize is in engaging in that, there's something that comes after that. It's not just a decision that we make that influences our lives in no way. It's a decision that we make that radically changes the trajectory of our life. And what we have to do is we have to continue to stay with it. We have to continue to pursue a relationship with Jesus every single day for year after year after year and growing in him. That's part of that obedience that Jesus spoke of. To continue to pursue him. It's not just pray a prayer today, ask Jesus into my heart, and then go live however I want to. Like, we have to stay focused on the decision that we make to follow Jesus. And Jesus, and John speaks about this in chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. And this is what Jesus says. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so one of the things we see there, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, we engage in a relationship with Jesus, one of the things we have to know is who Jesus is and what we said so that we can be obedient. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, like if you get into God's word, like students, that's what we have to do. We have to abide in God's word. We have to spend time with it. We have to find our peace in it. We have to find our hope in it. We have to develop our lives around what God's word says. This is our direction in our lives. We have to abide in it. We have to find comfort and peace. We have to go to it. We have to trust it. He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And so here's one of the other benefits of that. As you get into God's word, as you invest in your life by abiding in God and in Jesus and in through his word, one of the benefits of that is you know what truth is. And I think when we look at that and where we are as a society and a culture, and as we look at what's going on in the world around us, I think we all are questioning, like, man, like this doesn't sit right with my soul. Like, there's just something that feels uneasy, but the world is telling me this is the way that I should go. And we find our heart, our soul, and our body at constant conflict. But when we abide in God, when we abide in Jesus and when we abide in his word, we know what the truth is. And the truth setting us free means that we can live our lives how God intended for us to live them. And we don't feel the weight of performance. We don't feel the weight of reputation because we know who we are and who we've been created to be. We know the truth and we're set free by that. We live as free people. Like everyone in this world who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, they're living in bondage to this world. They're living with the world weighing down on them, thinking they're following the truth when in reality it's nothing but lies. And what Jesus tells us is when we abide in him, when we continue in a relationship with him, when we get into his word, we know what truth is. And as we engage with that, it sets us free. We don't have to worry about the lies of the world anymore because we go, I know that's not true. I know what God says about me. I know what the truth is. It sets us free. Matthew also talks about this in chapter 10. He says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Like, we have to stay in this. The world is constantly trying to pull you back into the worldly ways. Sin is constantly trying to pull you back into its grip. But as we see here that you will be hated for my name's sake, Jesus is saying, hey, as you go out and profess me and say, I'm following Jesus, the world is going to hate you. Like, we will feel persecution. Like, we will be hated. We may feel resistance. By the grace of God, we're in the United States of America where persecution is like one of the smallest places in the world. And like, if we're honest, our persecution is that person thinks I'm weird because I profess Jesus. Like, the reality is, like, man, like, they don't like me because I follow Jesus. Our reputation may take a ding. We're in other parts of the world. My buddy Brett, who was here a couple months ago, and who's a missionary in the Middle East, like the persecution he may feel, like recently he found himself in a position where he was bringing people into his home, sharing the love of Jesus, people who were born and brought up in a Muslim faith. Up until 2 weeks ago, where this guy came in, and he goes, "I know what's going on here, and I'm telling the officials, and it's going down." Where for Brett, that could mean a lot of negativity. That persecution, like the best case scenario of like the bad things is that he gets kicked out of the country and is not allowed to return there. And it could mean jail time. I mean, as we look around the world, as we look at some of the things going on in the world, in the deep parts of the Middle East and in China and North Korea, various parts throughout the world in India, like, you can die for your faith. Like, that's real persecution. And that's what Jesus is saying. He goes, the world's gonna hate you. Like, know that this is part of following Jesus, knowing that you're going to be rejected by the world. He says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So we got to keep on going. We got to keep pursuing Jesus, knowing that it's not going to be easy, knowing that it's going to be hard, knowing that we're going to be rejected. But we have to continue to pursue him because we know that in a pursuit of him, authentic salvation, authentic relationship with Jesus fights through, perseveres. And when we persevere, the one who endures to the end will be saved. And then Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. He says, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless above all reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see that? You need to continue in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Here's what I know, students. Here's what I know, families. Here's what I know, parents and small group leaders. The reality is when we decide to follow Jesus, we're saying, I'm going to take the hard path. I'm going to take the path that is not easy. I think one of the problems that we have in the church, not exclusive to GSM or to the chapel, but like I believe in the American church, one of the problems that we have is we have what we call a cheap gospel. And what we do is, and what we do often is we share John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we share that and we say, do you want to accept Jesus today? And people go, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Eternal life, that, yeah. And I think one of the problems that we have is we don't really talk about the cost of following Jesus. One of the things I love to partner with John 3:16 is Luke 9:23. And Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Like, those three things don't sound like rainbows and butterflies right now. Deny yourself. What you want, deny yourself. The things that is calling you to give your attention and your time and your resources to, you have to deny yourself. In following Jesus, you got to deny some of the things that you really want. You may go, man, I want to be a doctor. What if Jesus doesn't want that for you? Man, I want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. What if that's not part of his plan for your life? You know what I mean? I want my parents to be grandparents one day. I want them to live into their 90s. So that we have a good relationship. What if that's not part of God's plan? I want to be healthy. Like, what if that's not part of God's plan? What if part of God's plan as you pursue him is resistance, is persecution, is constantly being on the run, is constantly taking nicks and dings and hits to your reputation, to where you walk into the school and you are rejected by every single person in the school because you have chosen to follow Jesus? Like Jesus tells us, this is the reality when we enter into a relationship with him. So much that he says, the birds of the air have their nests and the foxes have their dens in the ground. He goes, but the Son of Man has no place to lie his head. We are not comfortable in this world, especially as we pursue Jesus. We have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross daily, an instrument of death. We have to die to ourselves daily in following Jesus. But one of the things that we see is that if we do that, if we enter into a relationship with Jesus, if we have authentic, real, living salvation, and we're pursuing Jesus day after day, and we're continuing, and we're continuing in the faith, and we're stable, and we're steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Like if you're like, you know what? Today's hard, but I know that Jesus is who I need to follow. You're secure. But the hard part is, in a moment like today, you're like, wow, hold on. Like, is that really what it looks like to follow Jesus? Like, do I have to give up myself to follow Jesus? And I think one of the hard parts of this is as we weigh that out, we realize what Jesus offers is far better than we can ever get for ourselves. What we realize is that it's not just a decision I make today and I go and live my life however I want, but instead it's a decision I make today and I work towards it today, and the decision I step up tomorrow and I go, yep, I'm still doing it. I'm still following Jesus. And next week, I'm going to still follow Jesus. And a year from now, I'm still following Jesus. And 10 years from now, I'm still following Jesus. And 50 years from now, I'm still following Jesus in a way that I never thought I could before. And that's really what it comes down to. I think sometimes we get so focused on this, you know, doctrine is really good because it helps us understand what we believe and why we believe it. But I think sometimes if we spend too much time in it, we become focused on the wrong things. Like, can I lose my salvation? I don't know. Like, maybe I can, maybe I can't. Like, I have to stay focused. Like, here's what we need to focus on more, even more than doctrine. We need to focus on Jesus, like every day. We have to focus on Jesus. We have to authentically give our lives to him. It's not just today. It's every single day. And I'm giving it to you again today, Jesus. Yesterday was really, really hard. Yesterday was not fun. And I'm giving it again to you today. If today is a repeat of yesterday, but I'm following you, then let's do it together. We have to authentically give our lives to him, trust that he died for us, and trust that our lives are best spent in dedication to him. And as we look at this, I think sometimes for me, as I'm reflecting this week, you know, it was hard for me because as Brett said months ago, and as I reflected this week, like he and I were very much in a student ministries a lot like this. We were really blessed to be a part of a great student ministries where we had a lot of good friends and a lot of people that stood up and worshiped God from a stage, and a lot of people that worshiped God from the floor with their lives. And it was like, goodness gracious, this is unbelievable. And since we have done life and as time has gone on, one of the things we've seen is we've seen people walk away. People that we were like convinced, man, they're going to follow Jesus for the rest of their life. There's one student specifically, I had a conversation with Happy about this week. Because as we looked at it, Happy was my student pastor 100 years ago. And we were having this conversation. I'm like, well, what about this person? And he's like, you know what, Ryan, one of the things we have to realize is that we can't look at others and say, what about them? Like they were so on fire for Jesus, and now they're like totally living for the world. Like what we have to realize is we can't, as we're weighing through this, we can't look at other people and go like, what about them? We have to look at ourselves and say, what about me? How am I going to continue to follow Jesus? We can't say like, you know, what does Jesus think about them? Like, is their relationship with Jesus real? Are they secure? We have to look within ourselves and say, what does my salvation look like? What does my relationship with Jesus look like as I am going through life? I think one of an incredible example that we have from God's word is in Judas. He was one of the 12 that Jesus pulled in. He did life with them. Like he was with them together. Like he was out there in the thick of it with Jesus and the other disciples. And I heard a pastor, a good friend of mine one time, say, talk about this. The night when Jesus would be betrayed, that Pastor Mike's talking about right now, he said it today, he goes, at this point in John chapter 17, he goes, Judas is no longer there. They've already had the Last Supper. But at that Last Supper, Jesus says, one of you will betray me. He knows that it's Judas. He knows that Judas has never followed him and his relationship with him is not authentic. But in that moment, all of the other disciples go, who is it? A counterfeit can look pretty authentic. Somebody who's not committed to Jesus can look pretty authentic. And we see Judas, it's not, you know, at this moment when Jesus says, one of you betray me, they turn and they look at, you know, and they go, well, who is it? It's not like they go like, dude, it's Judas. Look at him. Have you seen his life? It's not like they go, hey, remember that day we were casting out demons in Jesus' name? Like, you know, like I was able to do that, and John, so were you, but like, it was weird. Judas wasn't able to do that. Like, that never happened. As they're performing miracles, like, there's these miracles that they're doing, and all of them are performing these miracles. And one of the scary things, like, you have to take an authentic and real look at your life. You have to step back and say, hey, I need to put my pride away and stop telling myself I'm a good person. And I need to see if my relationship with Jesus is real or not. Like, did I just pray a prayer to avoid hell? Or did I pray a prayer to give my life over to Jesus and say, do what you want with it? And one of the scary, hard parts about this, Matthew talks about it in chapter 7 of his gospel. He says this, he goes, this is Jesus speaking. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so we see from that, like it's not just praying a prayer. It's the reception of salvation and then it's obedience to Jesus. It's obedience to God. It's obedience to God's word. says this: on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Notice there, Jesus says, I never knew you. Not, I knew you at one point, and then you forgot who I was. No, I never knew you. And I think this is a description of how we see Judas living his life. He is able to do some of the miraculous things. He is able to display some of the signs, but when it comes down to it, he has no relationship whatsoever with Jesus. Now, this, students, this is not to scare you, but this is for you to really look and say, where am I at with Jesus? Like, is it a real relationship or is it not? Like, have I just been acting and going through the motions? Like, I come here on Sundays and I'm good from about 10:40 to noon so that everybody can see me. And yeah, I prayed a prayer one time, but then when I leave here, man, I do whatever I want. Like, I'm doing my thing. Like, what does it look like for you in your relationship with Jesus? The reality is, how you look here should reflect how you look on Friday night, Monday morning, and everywhere in between. We have to realize that there's a cost. We have to realize that there are counterfeits out there, and sometimes we confuse ourselves. So where are you at with Jesus? What we can't allow this to become is a witch hunt where we go and we find people and we're like, okay, you're not following Jesus. I know you said you are, but like, I saw you at church, but I also saw you last night. And I don't know what you're doing here. So that's weird. We can't be going on a witch hunt saying like, I know that you raised your hand that one time and you told me you have a relationship with Jesus. Like, this is not for you to look out and you to play the role of like, you got to get your life together and you got to get your life together. And this is for you to look in the mirror, to close your eyes, to reflect inward and say, where am I at with Jesus? Is this relationship real or not? The other part of it, though, is there are some really good counterfeits out there that we are warned of. We need to be aware of potential threats, and we need to use caution as we're engaging with other people. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Corinthians. In his second letter, it says this. It says, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers. Actually, go to the next one. This is the wrong one. Here we go. So it is no surprise if his servants also, this is Paul talking and warning about Satan and sin. He says, so it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. There are some counterfeits out there. There are some fakes out there. And so here's the thing. Everywhere you go, every interaction that you deal with, what you need to do is you need to constantly go, okay, hey, even as soon as you leave here, you need to go, what Ryan said today, I need to go back to scripture. I need to double check that. Trust, but verify. I trust you. Hey, you say you're following Jesus? That's awesome. I'm going to go back and make sure what you said today aligns with scripture. Not with what I think, but with what scripture thinks. We have to make sure that we are engaging in good relationships so that we're growing in our relationship with Jesus and so that those that we're putting our trust in aren't leading us astray. Your small group leaders, your parents, your pastors, what you need to do is go, man, that was really, really good stuff. I engaged in a conversation. I heard something that was really good. I'm going to go back to scripture and just make sure that that's where we need to be going. Like, you should never leave. This should never, ever, ever be the only place where you get into God's word. Like, you should never, ever, let me say it again. When you come to church, when you engage in a pastor teaching in this kind of a setting, this should never, ever, ever be the only place where you get into scripture. You have to go like, man, that was good. We got to double check that. We got to double check our work, make sure what we learned today was good so that we can engage in that. And so we have those people who are fakes, counterfeits. We have people who have prayed a prayer and who are going like, you know what, I prayed a prayer, but I'm going to do my thing. And we have other people who are authentic. They go, man, I'm living for Jesus, and I'm living for Jesus every day. And then there's that group in the middle that are exploring Jesus. And we have to be patient with people. We have to say, hey, you know what, come along, let's do this together. We have to give people time and realize that there are people at different places on the path. But if you're sitting here this morning, you're like, I believe in Jesus. I believe I've received the gift of salvation. Ryan, what do I need to do to make sure that my faith is authentic? I say, you need to have some time with God. Spend some time in prayer saying, Lord, help me to see the things in my life that I'm missing. Maybe you find a fellow believer. Maybe you find somebody else in your life, maybe who's a little bit more spiritually mature. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a small group leader, a big brother, a big sister, a pastor in your life, and go, hey, help me see if I'm missing anything. Like, how do I know if my faith is authentic? And I think there's three ways that you can reflect, and you can engage in good relationships with to identify this. The first one is, do you have present trust in Christ for salvation? Presently. Not when I was a kid, I put my faith in Jesus. Like right now, do you say, I put my trust in Jesus for my salvation and not myself and not the things of this world? Do you have confidence in your heart that Jesus has saved you? And it's morbid, but one of the great ways to answer this is, if you were to die today, are you beyond a shadow of a doubt confident that you will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die in a car accident on the way home, that you would spend eternity with Jesus. These are some good reflective questions to ask yourself. The second part, is there evidence of regenerating work, of renewing work of the Holy Spirit? It's not just a demonstration of miraculous works like we saw. Matthew 7:22 tells us that. It says, on frequent journeys in danger, Matthew, there we go, thank you. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? It's not just doing the miraculous works. It's not putting in long hours here at the church, saying, you know what, coming at 9, coming at 10:40. It's not just about putting in times, but it's an obedience of God's will. Paul talks about this in Romans 8. He says this. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. When we are led by the Spirit, we are led to obedience, to doing God's will. When we're obedient to that, that's a good sign that we're following the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We also see, Paul talks about this, the production of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you see these things developing in your life, this is a good sign that you have the Holy Spirit leading you in a relationship with Jesus. These things don't come out of the world. Love, joy, peace. Let's start with those three. Love, joy, peace. They don't come out of the world. They come out of the Spirit, and that's fruit that must be developed in us. You can't develop this on your own. So, hey, is my faith authentic? Is the Spirit working in your life? Is the Spirit developing these things? Here's what it comes down to. It's not a perfect display. Those things, it's not like you walk in here and you're like, I am the perfect image of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control every minute of every day. It's not perfection, but it is the pursuit of this kind of life. Here's what it is. As soon as I'm not loving somebody, I go, uh-oh, I got to develop that. I got to love on this poor person. Spirit, give me the fruit of love to love this person that I am having trouble loving right now. Comes down to this. Students, can you see a long-term track record of growth? When you look back, are you in the same place you were in second grade when you gave your life to Jesus? Or you look back and you go, no. I am completely different. I am looking way more like Jesus today than I was last year and a year ago. Or are you like, man, like I'm a senior? My relationship with Jesus really hasn't changed a whole lot over the last 4 years. If there's not growth, is that an authentic relationship? You have to ask yourself these things. Do other people observe these things in your life? Do they go, man, you know what? One of my favorite stories is that Emily shared a couple years ago. She had a student and they walked in and they go, Miss Shumway, you're just full of joy. Like, that's not her. It's not my wife. That's the Holy Spirit working in her that others can observe. Are others able to observe these things in your life? And do you feel these things in your heart? Like, it can't just be like smiley face, but you're like, Oh, this is awesome. I hate you. Oh my goodness, I hate you so much. It's not that. It is like, man, we're struggling, but I gotta love you, and I'm gonna do that. Jesus, help me love this person and help them love me because I'm just as hard to love as they are. What are the results of your life and your ministry? As you look at your life, what are the current results of your life and your ministry? We all have a ministry. What does that look like? What fruit is developing? This comes back to continual belief and acceptance of the sound teaching of the church. That's why it's important to come here. To come in here and say, you know what? I agree with that. That's good. That's what I need to be doing with my life. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to do that. I'm going to continue to get into God's word. It's about coming under the teaching of God's word and accepting it. Accepting what God's word. Now, here's the thing. It's not saying, I mean, I got a question about that. That's not a problem. That's okay. It's just standing going like, I will not do that. I will not do that under any circumstances. Are you rejecting what God's word is saying? You continue in a relationship with Jesus. And then the last part, part three, do I see a long-term pattern of growth in my Christian life? Peter talks about this two places. Here they come. This is Peter. He says, you will recognize them by their... No, keep going. It's the last one, I think. I jumped a bunch. There we go. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Like, that is a pattern right there. That is a pattern of how we need to grow. So if you're here, like let's say today, you find yourself at virtue. Like you've supplemented your faith with virtue, and now with knowledge, like you're like, I'm continuing to grow. As I look at these things, I'm working my way down. I'm developing a pattern of growth, long-term pattern. It's not just like, hey, yesterday I did that and today I'm doing this, so tomorrow I do the next one. It's a long-term growth. And then Peter also talks about this in verse 10. He says this, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. How do you make sure that you do not lose your salvation? You stay focused in these things. How do you make sure your salvation is authentic? You continue to pursue these things. And when you deal with hardships, you continue to pursue these things. And when you have great joy in your life, you continue to pursue in these things. And these things are the attributes of Jesus and pursuing a relationship with Jesus. And we gain confidence as we grow in these qualities. When you look back and you're like, I was able to overcome that? No. Jesus was able to overcome that in my life. I can do it. I'm going to keep it up. I know something hard is coming, but I've been prepared by the Spirit for that. No other way but Jesus. It comes down to a parable that Jesus taught. And this isn't going to come up on your screen, but just listen. Close your eyes and think of this. Take on the imagery that Jesus is sharing with us here. In Matthew chapter 13, 44 and 46, it's two parables, very short. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Then the second parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of a fine pearl, who on finding that one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Students, that's what salvation looks like. That's what Jesus looks like. But really, we see the cost. You have to sell it all. Say, Jesus, I am giving it all up for you, and I am following you with my whole heart. That's what authentic salvation looks like. That's why Jesus tells us these things. I am willing to sacrifice it all for you. I am willing to do for you what you have done for me. And I know that in doing that, I will be in a better spot because I will be in your hand for all of eternity. I am willing to sell it all. I'm willing to give it up at all. And I think really, students, I think this causes in us a reality of a need for a gut check. A moment to say, God, let's get real. Like my life and my actions and my heart does not display authentic salvation, does not display authentic faith. Help me give it up for you. And so we're going to do something here in just a minute. We don't do very often. We should do it more often. We're going to take 3 minutes. The band's going to play. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to spend some time with God. Some of these questions, my hope is there's one that really caused a stir in you. You're like, wow, the Spirit's really talking to me this morning because my life is just, it's messed up. Am I really following Jesus? Did I really sell it all for Jesus? Or did I say, I want you, Jesus, but I'm going to bring all this stuff with me. I want it my way. What does it look like? I'm going to pray for us, and band will play, and then we'll sing out the last song. But just take some time. Reflect. Jesus, help me see where we're at. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you for how you speak to us. Lord, call us. Reveal the truth in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be secure in you as we are daily pursuing you.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries High School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.